The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to Peter, Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, the one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And, as the man could not repay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before the king, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, said, Pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in great anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from the heart. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I knew a man, and this man loved dogs. You know the kind, in their house there's 10,000 little figurines of dogs. On their vehicles they have such funny bumper stickers as, I bark for dogs. They attend dog shows. They go to dog lectures. They belong to dog groups on the internet. They love dogs. This man loved dogs. And one day I was having breakfast and I was watching this man, my neighbor across the street. And he was pouring a new cement pad for his sidewalk. And I watched him pour the pad, leveled it out, troweled it out, had it looking very nice, put the requisite lines into it, and then he ran back in the house for what turned out to be some twine and sticks so he could box it off, no one stepped on it. But while the man was in the house, a dog came by and walked right over his fresh cement. Well, the man bent over with his trowel, started to fix the step marks, put a little more cement on, and I saw him mumble something under his breath. Then he ran back inside to answer the phone or something, and the dog came back again, walked over his freshly poured patio walkway. Came back out, got the trowel, started repairing the paw prints in the patio walkway, and again I saw him mumble something under his breath. When he was done, he turned his back to his newly poured walkway and started in towards the house. But before he made it into the house, that dog came back. And that dog walked onto his path, and then he sat down and plopped his bum right into it. The man reached inside his door, grabbed a gun, and shot that dog dead where he stood. I came out, and I said, I thought you loved dogs. How could you do that? He said, Sheldon, I love dogs in the abstract, but I hate dogs in the concrete. No rim shot. Okay. No rim. I mentioned this very, very true story for a reason. Today's readings deal with forgiveness. And I truly believe, I look into my own life, the lives of people I know, and I think forgiveness is one of those things that we like in the abstract. We like talking about forgiveness. We love when God talks to us about forgiveness. We love forgiveness being proclaimed to us. We like the idea of forgiveness, of nations shaking hands, of all wars ending, of all people getting along. That's our abstract, our utopian view of forgiveness. But in the concrete, we don't like forgiveness so much. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is challenging. We don't want to be a wimp. We don't want to be seen as always turning the other cheek. We don't want our rights trampled over. We want to protect ourselves, our family, our turf, what we think is ours. So often we're slow to forgive. Often we hang on to grudges. Often we convince ourselves that we have been wronged so grievously that it is not our place to forgive. We like the idea of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's in the Bible as well. Today Christ talks to us about forgiveness. Forgiveness is important. It's the mandate and mission of Christ's time on earth, to bring us into the veil of grace so that we can receive God's forgiveness, that our divine debt of sin can be paid, and paid it has, that we may receive forgiveness. But as we do every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we recognize that we are creators with God. For when we pray, "Forgive my sins as I forgive those sins of others," we recognize that we have a role to play. As Christ has loved us, we are called to love others. That's a hard message. It's hard for us to live out, and it was hard for Christ's disciples 2,000 years ago to live out as well. This idea of forgiveness, this modeling Christian love. But it's important. It's healthy. And ultimately, it leads to stronger relationships, stronger families, more peaceful communities. As I continue my ministry, as I talk to couples, to people, to husbands, to wives, I've come to the realization that how a marriage works, how strong a marriage is, the enjoyment that a husband and wife experience in the company of one another is not due to their perfect nature. I.e., Martha Stewart for a wife and Mike Holmes for a husband. Happiness in marriage is not to be found in the perfection of a partner. Perfect looking, perfect abilities, perfect skills, perfect submission, these do not seem to be the keys to marital bliss, to a happy home. It would seem to me, in my experience, happiness in marriage is found in a couple's capacity to forgive. How does a wife forgive her husband? How does a husband forgive his wife? Whether it may be from squeezing the toothpaste from the top of the tube, leaving the dirty dishes in the sink, not getting the oil changed in the car, letting the grass grow a little bit too long, letting the bathroom towels not get changed enough, whatever it may be, how does a couple hold on to these things? Is there nagging? Is there comparisons? So-and-so's husband would never let that happen. I love going to Sally's house. Her place is so clean. You should taste Martha's cooking. I used to love it when my mom made cabbage rolls. What is the capacity for forgiveness in a relationship? Among friends. Parents and children. Children and parents. How do we hold on to things? What things live with inside of us and ferment and turn vile and bleed off in all sorts of nasty and unhealthy ways? Snide little comments. Things purposely done to hurt someone else. Little things. These things grow over time. Peter comes to Christ in today's gospel, and Peter says, "If a member of the church sins against me, Jesus, how often should I forgive them?" And Peter knows that being a Christian is a little bit different than being a Gentile. So Peter says, it's got to be more than one time, right? Because we talk about forgiveness. What, Jesus? So I'm willing to bet 7 times. If I say, Jesus, if I forgive someone 7 times, have I done enough? Can I finally just put them up on the wall of shame? Ignore them? Gossip about them? Condemn them to hell? Christ says no. You don't forgive them 7 times. You forgive them 77 times. You forgive them an infinite amount. You keep working towards reconciliation. Keep working to establish relationship, establish community. And the important part for us is the beginning of Peter's sentence. If a member of the church sins against me, Peter and Christ see us as a family. We are not strangers on the streets. We are not simply people that have something in common, our membership to a church or a congregation. We are family. We are in community. We are in this ministry together. We are not simply to wipe the dust from our feet and leave their doorway, to choose not to sit beside them in a pew, to figure they're crazy or senile or out of their minds and spread gossip and rumors about them. Christ tells us we are to work towards reconciliation. We are to forgive as God has forgiven us. These are in the words Jesus taught us. And just to hammer his point home, just so there's no mistaking what Christ is telling Peter, the apostles, and now us, Christ tells the parable. And there's a king. And it's time to settle debts with the king. So he calls his accountants together, his CPAs, and says, who owes me money? It's time to call in the markers. Kind of like April 15th in Canada, for those of you who... Well, there's a guy that owes millions of dollars in today's money. So the king says, bring him in. King says to him, where's my millions of dollars? I don't got it. I'm sorry. The king says, take him, take his wife, take his kids, throw them in the jail, sell them into slavery, whatever it may be, their day is done. He cannot repay his debt. It's outstanding. So the man throws himself at the mercy of the king. Forgive me, sir. Give me a little bit of time. I'll work to repay you. Give me grace. The king hears this. We're told the king is moved with compassion. And the king doesn't only give him a little more time, doesn't give him a 30-day extension. The king forgives his whole debt. He wipes it right out, and he sends the man on his way. Saves the man's children, saves the man's family, saves the man's life. From like Canada, there's debtor's prison in first century Palestine. But the story doesn't end there. If it did end there, it would simply be the story of a gracious God. All is forgiven. Everything's good. Everything's good. Go and rack up some more debt. That's not the story. The man leaves the palace. His debt is forgiven. His family is free. And what does he see? Someone that owes him money. Now this man owes him about $10, let's say, in today's denomination. This man owes the king millions of dollars. This man owes about $10. The man sees his debtor and says, hey, Charlie, pay up. I don't have it. Give me some time. I'll work to pay it off. Give me some grace. So what does the man do? Has him, his family locked up, thrown into jail. Oh. We have place for all God's creatures. So a debtor's thrown into jail. The king gets word of this, calls the man back and says, shame on you. I forgave you and you refuse to forgive this man this paltry sum. You will be tortured until you pay back your debt. Which of course is never. Basically it's a lifetime of torture. What's the message here? What is Christ telling us about ourselves? It's pretty obvious in this parable who's who. The king, God. The man, us. The second man, our brothers and sisters in Christ. What Christ is basically telling us, what Christ is hammering home to his disciples, to us, is as God forgives you, work to forgive others. Let this be a model for life. Let this be a way of being. Deal in compassion. Deal in restitution. Deal in forgiveness. Forgiveness, the definition of the word, means to give up, to hand over, to give away. That's very different to what I often hear. I'm guilty of this too. Someone has wronged you somehow. And they say, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? And you say, don't worry about it. It's nothing. That's not forgiveness. Ignoring a problem is not forgiveness. True forgiveness is giving it up. It's not holding on to something. It's not letting something fester to build, to create animosity in a relationship. True forgiveness is the giving up. It's the sending out of a problem. It no longer exists in a relationship. And this is our model to work towards. As God has forgiven us, we are called to forgive others. Christ hammers at home. Paul hammers at home in terms of not being judgmental in the church in today's reading. And we are called to live it. And it's hard to live. It's really hard to live. Because the old Adam in ourself wants justice. The old Adam that clings to sin wants revenge. We want to see others suffer like we have suffered. You hurt me, I want to hurt you. You offend me, I want to offend you. You steal from me, I want to steal from you. And that feels good. All of us, I'm sure, have been the victim of theft, the victim of vandalism, the victim of gossip, the victim of violence in some form or another, and we want that righteous revenge. We want to get our due, our pound of flesh. We want to make things even. We love the movies. When the enforcer comes to town and rids everyone, the underdogs prevail. And there is certainly a place for that in Scripture. But amongst us, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to work for forgiveness. As God forgives us, we are called to forgive others. Amen.